Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, we did it. Kansas City pulled off an NFL draft for the ages over the weekend with 312,000 fans attending the three-day festivities. There's no way to track or tell how many people went more than one time, but an amazing turnout, and I've gotten so many great emails and feedback from so many of you. We saw record television ratings up 11% on Thursday night. It continued throughout the weekend, and we'll get to the Chiefs in a moment, who executed what I think is another flawless draft. Well, more on that in a moment. So a couple of things happened that you wouldn't think would happen because they had anticipated 300,000 people coming. The first thing that happened was in many places they ran out of beer. I thought, well, that's maybe one of the most Kansas City or Wisconsin things ever. Like if they do this in Milwaukee, you would think, or Green Bay, you would think, okay, that sounds like a Wisconsin kind of thing. But apparently they ran out of beer at times at this event, and I think they were peddling Bud Light. This thing was like a MAGA convention. We saw USA chants. We heard a lot of discussion of players and folks about God and Christianity. And it might as well have been, you know, Donald Trump up there speaking with the crowd that turned out. You could tell it was very conservative, very MAGA, very NFL. I got an awesome email from a listener named Justin, and I know he's going to be really proud that he's right up front at the top of the podcast today, but he sent me the greatest picture of something you did not see at the NFL draft this weekend. And I just love this. We talked last week about all the shenanigans, all the things going on around this. Some people had to walk 40 minutes to get there because it was so closed down, how far away you had to park and things like this. But there clearly was a bucket list feel to this event for a lot of people that, hey, this is my only chance. This is my town, or I live close to here. We're going to go. Many of you have said, wow, it's amazing how many fans of other teams were there. Let's get this out of the way right up at the top. Underneath the cover by the stage, each team has a spot of about 20 seats that they put their fans in. Those are super fans from each city, and in many cases, they actually pay for them to come. They fly them here, they put them up, whatever. They do that to televise this event and have fans from every team so the cameras can go to them. That was not organically people just showing up and standing on the lawn. Those people underneath that you were seeing on TV, those are set up by the team. So every year the draft occurs, lucky Chiefs fans are able to go to the draft, wherever it may be, and they sit there as well. So, you know, don't fall for, wow, look at all these fans came in. Yes, there were plenty of fans in from out of town. I'm not saying there weren't. But the ones you saw on TV are set up by the teams for television. That was all part of the theater, okay, for lack of a better term. But there were a million ways to consume this draft, a million ways to go. There were executive VIP seats that we talked about with ticketsforless.com that they were selling, and some people were right up front, and it was really, really cool. And then there was the lawn. There was just people standing around for hours and hours and hours, and the concerts that followed that. And you saw a lot of images about that. You probably didn't see on social media, and you probably didn't have anybody tell you about the little-known thing that we talked about they were putting up last week. This was your federal government. Health and Human Services put up tents to give away free COVID shots. At the NFL draft? Are you kidding me? I'm going to guess over half the people there didn't take the shot, ever. We know that 32% of Americans did not take one shot. Okay? So what do you think the percentage was at this MAGA convention, the NFL draft? What do you figure that was? So Justin sends me this picture of the jab tent. And it's hysterical. It's in the middle of all the mayhem and all these people. 312,000. I got to find out. 312,000 people attended. How many jabs do you think the tent gave out? I don't have the answer. I wish I had it for you. I'll try to find out. I'm going to guess it was less than 100. No, not 100,000. 100 people. It had to be less than 100. Justin sends me a picture. This tent is empty and the people working it are bored. I don't know why that's funny to me. It just is. You know why it's funny to me? And I'm not making any commentary on getting the shot. I'm just not. I think it's great if you got the shot and you wanted to get it. I have no issue with that. None whatsoever. I've spoken numerous times on this podcast about the feeling I got from my mom when she got the shot, how blessed it made her feel. And she's been healthy and not had a problem, and it's all great. All of these things are fantastic. There is good to this, okay? I'm not making fun of the actual jab itself. What I'm laughing at is that Health and Human Services and Kansas City decides to put up a tent at the NFL draft and think, what? This is the virtue signaling on the highest level. Well, you're just such, there's such goodness in your government that they're here helping us all still from COVID-19 in 2023. It's 4 years old. It's hilarious that they try to do this crap. Nobody wanted it there. It didn't fit. This is not where you do it. It just isn't. It's not where it belongs. You want to drive the mobile truck around and say we're going to be set up on certain days of the week and go to different neighborhoods? Great. I'm all for that. That seems like a reasonable thing. If nothing else, maybe some people will at least see some nurses or something that don't normally go to the doctor. It seems like for public health, there's all kinds of places we could target and say, this is where we didn't get many people with the shot. Let's go there and try to go into those communities. But the NFL draft, it's insulting. It's stupid. It's childish. It's so junior high. Like, I don't know about you, but junior high was the worst years of my life. Seventh grade in particular. Seventh and eighth grade sucked. And everything was shallow and demeaning and cliquish. And, oh, we've got this over here and this over here. And that's what this is. This is stupid. It didn't belong. And I'd feel bad for the people that were working in the tent, but they're part of the problem. I'm sure they're volunteers or low paid, and they worked in shifts and thought, well, I'll go do this because I can at least see the draft and get a parking spot and have access and go. So there was something in it for them, but that's part of the problem too. You're part of the problem when you know you're going to something, it just doesn't belong. Thank you, Justin. You made my week. You didn't make my day. You made my week with this photograph of the empty jab tent at the NFL draft. Justin also wrote in his email about a movie many of you are contacting me about that you've seen called Nefarious. Now, apparently there's a couple of Nefarious movies. There was one a few years ago, but this is Nefarious 2023, and it's in theaters right now. And I've read about it, watched the trailer, done some research, but I've not seen the movie. It is by the directors and producers of this are, one's Catholic, one is Methodist, I think, maybe Episcopalian, I'm not sure. It is a Christian movie that's being presented as a horror film, but it is not a horror film in the true sense. Apparently there's not much, if any, violence in this at all. It basically is about a man on death row who calls himself Nefarious and a psychologist who comes in to analyze whether or not he's mentally fit to be executed. And it becomes good versus evil, becomes basically conservative versus liberal. As I understand it, the good, in a weird way, is in the killer who's about to be executed. The good is in him, challenging everything in this psychologist who's very liberal and represents evil. Yeah, I haven't seen it. Everybody's talking about it, and they say it's fantastic. It's called Nefarious. You want to check that out. So, Justin, excellent email getting our week started there. I think that's awesome. Kelsey Jam also sold out over the weekend at Sandstone. What a wild week it was for Travis and Jason Kelsey. Jason Kelsey slamming and shotgunning beers on national TV at the draft. Then, of course, it went all the way through Kelsey Jam, sold out on Friday night at Sandstone. Good for them. Travis Kelsey clearly is going to be a star after football. And I have a tendency sometimes to get critical of players in the offseason that do too much. And, okay, this is a bridge too far. And look at Travis. He's acting like a fool and all this stuff. And there are players that still applies to. And you would say, okay, that player isn't taking care of business. You just never question anything with Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce. It doesn't matter what they do. We've watched Patrick Mahomes play in that golf thing live on TV, and he must have pounded 9 Coors Lights over the 9 holes they played. I mean, he was just pounding them. And they were the big ones. They were the pounders. They weren't the 12-ounce cans. They were, I mean, just slamming away, getting lit up, playing golf on TV. And normally you would want to criticize and say, look, a lesser player you would criticize and say they're not doing what they have to do. A player that maybe comes in typically out of shape or this or that. These guys can do anything they want. And every September they show up in great shape, ready to win 13 more games and go 13-4 and then win 3 more in the playoffs and have a parade. It's just kind of what they do. And it's awesome. Travis Kelce has a spirit in him a gift in life that is incredible. We wrote a great new story about draft night for Travis Kelce in our patrons post over the weekend for the patrons as we wrapped up the first couple days of the draft and did a whole bunch of cool draft features in the post. If you become a patron, you get that newsletter each weekend and some really cool new Travis Kelce information in that for you if you want to sign up and become a patron at kkhasissues.com. On to the business of the draft. The Chiefs killed it. I've never been one who's going to say, look, I've broken down film. I've now watched over the weekend. I've watched highlights of all these players. I've seen the clips that are being released. You look at them and you go, well, they were a great college player, and now they've been drafted by the Chiefs, and here's what I'm going on. And I've always gone on this, and I used to get made fun of a lot by this, but now everybody does it. I go by what the Chiefs drafted, not who. I don't get hung up on the who. I look at the strategy. The Chiefs traded up for their second and third picks. I love that. That is the ultimate statement. They got their guy who they didn't think would be there or be available to them. All right, so we love that. I mean, everybody loves Felix and Udike Uzama. That's great. Local kid, K-State product, terrific. Got him in the first round. Great story. We went over that on Friday. That's an awesome pick because it's the single biggest need for the Chiefs. They also, later in the draft, picked B.J. Thompson from Stephen F. Austin, another defensive end, to add some depth to that position. The Chiefs are saying, admittingly, out loud, we need help with our pass rush. They know they can't win the Super Bowl without a pass rush. It can't be done. Just like you have to have quarterback play, you have to have the pass rush. Those are the two most important things on the field in the NFL today. Your quarterback play and your pass rush. That is absolutely the two most key elements to any championship team. And the Chiefs admittedly said, we got to go here. We got to get some dudes. And they got some dudes. Felix and Udike Uzama, they get right there. They go Rashee Rice, the wide receiver out of SMU second. They trade up to get him. You love that. You were hoping Mahomes was going to get a target. This guy is he's a body control guy. The way they describe him is the way they describe Tyreek Hill. Now, he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he is fast. He had some drops last year because he tries to catch the ball against his body, but don't get confused with your hands against your body as body control. He has a way to, like a big man in basketball would block somebody out for a rebound. He has a way to kind of shield the defender and make the catch. They love his body control. They say instantly when he catches the ball, he becomes a running back. That's what the Chiefs like in wide receivers. It's what they like, and they traded up for him. So they got somebody they love. They also moved up to get Wanya Morris, the tackle out of Oklahoma. Again, if you're going to list the third need, and we talked about this last week on the podcast, what is it the Chiefs need? In this order, it is defensive end, a wide receiver, and a tackle. And they went defensive end, wide receiver, and tackle. And I, you know, get twisted around and nervous that they're going to go tackle first, which I would hate, because I think you can get an outstanding tackle in the third round. I hate drafting linemen too high. Go for the important skill position players higher. Your quarterbacks, your pass rushers are one and two. Like, I think I'd almost every year, if I had an NFL team, draft either a quarterback or an edge rusher in the first round. Yeah, I don't think you could go wrong there, seeing what you could find. And the Chiefs do this, obviously, frequently. You know, this is what they attack. Through free agency, immediately when this regime came in, they got Alex Smith. Then they drafted Patrick Mahomes, but they had other quarterbacks that they signed and drafted in the time in between. They were constantly looking at the quarterback position until they have it right where they want it now, and they constantly look at defensive end and edge rusher, and I love that. So they went there and they did that. In the fourth round out of Virginia Tech, they get Chimari Connor, a defensive back. They need help in the back. Their backfield, defensive backfield is very young. With their last pick, they also got cornerback Nick Jones from Ball State. We're totally good with those picks. You cannot have enough depth in the secondary, especially in this division where they're going to be throwing the football around like crazy. The quarterbacks are really good in this division. And with their sixth pick, they picked up Keandre Coburn, a defensive tackle out of Texas, who became the best. Well, he didn't become the best draft night story. He became the best draft phone call story. Keandre Coburn waited around for 3 days out of Texas. This is a big man. Okay, this is a big man that some people thought, well, maybe he's too big, that he's too slow for the modern game. I mean, he is a big, old-fashioned, 335-pound defensive tackle that is a bowling ball in the middle of a line that says you are not going to run the ball between the tackles. You are not going to run the ball up the middle on us. Can he play on passing downs? I think they're going to try to play him over the years as a guy that they plug in there to stop the run. Maybe in a goal line situation or obviously running situations, things like that. That will be a specialty. They make it sound like, yes, he can be in there for some passing downs. But we'll see. This is not a star player. This is just an old-fashioned, old-school guy that they drafted. A big, 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 brawny guy in the middle of the defensive line, Keandre Coburn. So Coburn's hanging around with his girlfriend on Saturday, and he's got his iPhone plugged into his tablet. I think he's drawing juice off of it. He's got things synced up. And by this time, you're getting a little bit bored. To be honest, you are. You've tried to tell your friends to stop calling because it's been 3 days and they're all bugging you. When are you going to get picked? When are you going to get picked? And you're saying, I don't know. Nobody's in contact. The draft goes so fast that there becomes no warning at this point, right? There's no warning. They're going so fast. It's just, so Coburn's had his phone ringing and it rings again and now it's plugged into his tablet and it's going off like at a crazy alarm clock. And apparently he was washing a dish or something in the kitchen and he heard it. And he goes to it and goes like, oh, no, who's bothering me now? Get off my phone. And his hands are wet. And his girlfriend says, the call's from Kansas. And he goes, uh-oh. And he goes to swipe his phone. And because his fingers are wet, it won't answer. And it just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. He's trying to dry it off. And he's trying to answer the phone. It took him forever. He goes, I almost missed the call. And he finally swiped it. And at the other end, they said, hi, this is the Kansas City Chiefs calling. You're our sixth round pick. Get your eye on the TV. It's happening right now. The pick is in. They talk to him for a second. That's why there's a delay when they say the pick is in, because they like to contact the player and let him know, whatever, that, hey, this is about to happen. It did happen. He was ecstatic. He said he started crying then. He had wet hands again from wiping tears after he talked to the Chiefs. So nice work there, Keandre. Getting your hands dried off and answering your iPhone isn't modern technology great. Perhaps the best visual in the draft was Deuce Vaughn's dad, Chris, with the Dallas Cowboys. If you haven't seen this video, it's spectacular. Deuce Vaughn played at Kansas State. Kansas State had an incredible draft here. They had four players taken, and every single one of these four players got drafted by their hometown NFL team. That is amazing. Deuce Vaughn grew up in the Dallas area. His dad is a scout for the Dallas Cowboys. His dad is not some high-level guy that makes decisions on who you pick and says to ownership or the GM, hey, let's take my son. He's not. They've got a giant U-shaped table with probably 30 people standing around, and he's at the end of it. Like, he's a scout. He's a assistant director of scouting or something like that. But he's been a scout with the Cowboys forever, and he's a good man, and they love him. And the Joneses know him because he's worked for him forever. And they've known about Deuce because there's a picture out there circulating with 8-year-old Deuce and his dad at a Cowboys game, which is pretty damn cool. And they make, there's two videos. The first one is when they announce the table that they're taking him, and Chris, the dad, just puts his head in his hands on the table and just starts crying that they're taking his son. He can't believe it. And he gets up and he walks around the table and he goes right to Jerry Jones's son and hugs him. And then he goes to Jerry Jones and they embrace. And they're telling each other how much they love him and thanks for being a cowboy for life and all this stuff going on. Then they hand him the phone. And they say, Chris, you're calling your son. And you're not calling him from your phone. You're going to call him here from the Cowboys' phone. He's going to think it's Jerry Jones. And when it rings, Deuce answers. And Chris says, Deuce, it's your dad. He goes, hey, Dad, this ain't my phone. But I was wondering, would you like to come to work with me next week? And Deuce says, yes! He says, you're a cowboy, son. I can't believe it. And Deuce, of course, is excited. Then they hand the phone to Jerry Jones, and he gets kind of emotional. And everybody is standing around hugging this man. It was just an unbelievable sight. I don't know what Deuce Vaughn's going to be in the NFL. He dropped all the way to 6 because he's not fast. All right, Deuce can be caught in the NFL. He didn't get caught in college. When he got that he's got a burst and a sidestep that gets around players, and that will work in the NFL, but he won't break 80-yard runs in the NFL who get run down. He only ran 4.6 at the combine, 4.6 40. So he was, not only was he not fast, he was slow at the combine. Now, he's not a track guy. He's a football player. And what do you do on the field? We'll see. We'll see how it all works out with Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State. He said after the draft, he said, how did you get to this point? He is the shortest player in NFL history now. Shortest player ever at the NFL draft, 5'5". And he said, my size is my superpower. And he believes it. University of Georgia and Alabama each had 10 players selected in this draft. Missouri had one, Isaiah McGuire, the defensive end from Tulsa, I think, originally. He was drafted by the Browns in round four. He was a tremendous edge rusher the last 2 years for the Tigers. Had 7.5 sacks this season, second team All-SEC. Really good player and a nice pick for the Browns there in the fourth round. McGuire out of Mizzou. The crazy story from day one that everyone is still talking about now, the numbers are in on, and that's quarterback Will Levis from Kentucky. Will Levis from Kentucky, many thought would go number four in the first round of the Indianapolis Colts. They went with the other quarterback, Richardson, out of Florida. And there weren't too many teams after that interested in a quarterback. It's just how it happens. Will Levis was all dressed up. His girlfriend was there. His parents were there. His sisters were there. It looked like a reality show on Thursday night until it wasn't very good. Well, it was a reality show because then it got bad, and his girlfriend looked really bitchy, awful. She became an internet sensation for having the, I'm going to say it. I don't know if your kids listen with you or not. This is just what they call it with young, spoiled women. They call it bitch face. I'm not saying that's nice. Resting bitch face, RBF is what they call it. Like when you're just sitting there and you're not talking, you just have this look on your face. And oh, did she have it? Like, I'm not sure I'd stay with her. It was embarrassing. It was that bad. I think that says enough about her personality. Anyway, I digress. I should just lay off her and forget about it. But he didn't look very happy either. All right, so he wasn't doing himself a lot of favors, and he never got up and walked around. At some point, I just said, hey, enough with the cameras, guys. Come on. I'm going to walk out and go backstage if you just keep showing me on TV. This is ridiculous. Just take a break. That's what I'd have said. Or certainly the agent could have stepped in at some point and said, hey, leave him alone. He's going to go back there if you stay on him. This is dumb. All right, let's just wait this thing out. So Levis leaves. He goes home, and he becomes the first pick the next day, right? This is using last year's numbers. Dropping from number 4 to number 33, taking the two players last year in the draft at number 4 and 33, Will Levis lost $24 million sitting at Union Station. $24 million, and it's worse than that, because if you're drafted number 4, you are guaranteed a 4-year guaranteed contract. And when you're drafted in the second round, you are not guaranteed a 4-year contract. He is now number 3 on the depth chart at Tennessee, and he lost $24 million sitting at Union Station. If he can avoid it, that man will never, ever, the rest of his life, come back to Kansas City. Kind of a sad thing, and it was hard to watch. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Doesn't matter what your project is here, whether it's commercial or residential. If you'd like to build a custom home, Back 9 Development has many projects in the Kansas City area going on right now where they're building custom homes, beautiful custom homes. TJ would love to sit down with you. You can bring your own architect. He has his own architects. It's a great way to do it and have a home that you've always dreamed of that nobody else has. It's your home the way you want it, custom built. Same thing with businesses or real estate development projects. He does many of those as well, condominium complexes, business complexes, retail, office space. Call TJ and see if your realities match his, and maybe you'll be a great partner with him. 785-236-0161. A lot of folks like to invest in real estate. It is a very solid investment, and TJ's got some projects going. If you'd like to learn about them, become part of that, just give him a call. 785-236-0161, online at back9development.com. Amazing Garage Floors is online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Hutch was at the draft. He's got a place down there, man. He's got a condo down there, and he and Heather were at the draft having a good time. We didn't make it, Hutch. My apologies. We'll meet you someplace less crowded sometime. How about that? And the cold frosties are on me. Amazinggaragefloors.net. I still love it every time I drive in and out of my garage or get in or out of my car. I love it. The garage floor speaks for itself. This will be the one thing you put in your home, guys, that you're going to be like, wow, I'm so glad I did this. AmazingGarageFloors.net. He also seals driveways and concrete. If you'd like to do that, 913-901-7139. AmazingGarageFloors.net. North Kansas City Dental, Dr. Bill Bush is my dentist. He is my dentist, and he's also the dentist of so many of the Chiefs players. Whether you're looking for regular dental care or you want to do implants or veneers, Maybe you have TMJ or you'd like to get good teeth whitening. They do that. It's all right there at nkcdental.com, 816-471-2911 for NKC Dental. Love those guys. All right, elsewhere in sports, the Royals lost 3 out of 4 to the Twins, and I'm not going to spend any time here on this, but Brady Singer got rocked on Sunday, and this is really bad. Because if the Royals had one given with their pitching this year, it was going to be that Brady Singer is good. And this is a horrendous start. He's got 2 really good outings, and the other 4 have just been a train wreck. And I can't figure that out, and I don't know why this is happening to him. I don't. But it's hard to watch, and Sunday was painful as Singer just got rocked. Brutal, brutal, brutal stuff. Doesn't get any better. The Royals are in big trouble. You know that. Not telling you anything you don't know. In golf, Taylor Gooch wins again on the LIV Tour, which is the biggest story in golf, and here's why. They went from Adelaide, Australia to Singapore, where they played on another just incredibly great course, and it was a star-studded leaderboard. The leaderboard was Taylor Gooch, who's a terrific young player. He's 31, and he was up against Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka. I mean, this leaderboard is star-studded. And they're getting after it, and it winds up in a playoff, and Gooch beats Sergio in the playoff. Taylor Gooch in 8 days, because he won last week, and he won again this week. 8 days, Taylor Gooch has won nearly $10 million on the LIV Tour as he beat Sergio. Even better yet, traditionally, when you win, you pay your caddy 15% when you win. He gets less than that when you don't. When you win, it's like a tip, because the checks are so big, the caddies love the wins. Taylor Gooch's caddy in 8 days has made over $1 million. We're going to assume it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.3 million that the caddy has made in 8 days, which is more than Jordan Spieth got for finishing fourth at the Masters. Should think about that for a second. On the LIV Tour, a caddy made more in 8 days than Jordan Spieth made finishing fourth at the Masters. And it gets better than that. Taylor Gooch is speaking out about it. He says Tiger Woods came up to him at the driving range at the Masters and was like, hey, you're getting ready to head toward Adelaide, right? And Gooch is like, yeah. He goes, oh, man, it's going to be crazy. I've heard the ticket sales are outrageous. This is Tiger, who's all PGA Tour, is talking to LIV players, asking him questions. He knew that he played, that his team name was the Range Goats, and Bubba Watson is his teammate. Like, he's following LIV Golf, Tiger is, and the insane money. And Tiger's commented, look, they put $2 billion in to start this thing up, but who's to say they don't have another $4 billion right behind it? He doesn't know where it's going, but it sounds like Tiger's starting to be engaged because he can't really make it through a 72-hole tournament that maybe LIV is going to be for him because it's a shorter schedule, it is global, it's less walking, and they might even make some exceptions for him out there if he needed it. Hey, if you get to a point where you need a cart for 9 holes, we might let you. Who knows? Who knows what LIV would do to get Tiger Woods? So he's talking to these players about the LIV Tour, and Tiger is the reason that the PGA Tour is staying together. I mean, he and Rory McIlroy have kept it together. They're like anti-LIV, anti-LIV, anti-LIV. But behind the scenes, he's asking questions, and Taylor Gooch is just outing him. Taylor Gooch went on a podcast, said, and I'm reading the quotes here from the podcast. This is Taylor Gooch speaking. So I've got kind of a funny story at Augusta. One of the mornings I was warming up, Tiger was right next to me warming up. He was like, man, you're on Bubba's team, right? And I was like, hell yeah. He's like, you guys are going to Adelaide. He goes, yep. He goes, man, they've got great golf there. You're going to love it. He goes, have you ever been to Singapore? That's the following week, right? And I was like, no, man, this is my first time to Singapore. And he's like, buddy, you got to go to the casino at Marina Bay Sands. It's the famous hotel casino there. You've all seen it for sure. It looks like there's a boat on top of 3 towers. It's this massive casino hotel and the shops and everything. So anyway, Tiger's like, first time I was in Singapore, I did this clinic there, right? And he's like, I got introduced to the guy who basically owns Disney of Asia. And he had to be there for whatever reason. And so he's like, this guy's like, hey, do you want to go get some dinner tonight? My favorite place in Singapore is at this hotel casino. And then, do you like to gamble at all? And Tiger says, well, yeah, a little bit. And he says, okay, I'm going to teach you how to play Baccarat. And Tiger's like, we go over there, and this guy starts playing $1 million hands of Baccarat. And so Tiger's like, this was a little earlier in my career. I learned pretty quickly the difference between being rich and being rich. I was like, yeah, that's Disney rich, Tiger. And he's like, yeah, Disney rich, rich, rich. And they were laughing about these people that you meet in Singapore and the things that are going on there. And I don't know what it means. It's probably not the greatest thing for Tiger that it's out, but Tiger is engaged in LIV Golf. He knows what's going on, and LIV Golf had another terrific week. All right, KKHI moves on to the news of the day, and it is presented to you by the Bluemont Hotel and Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center in Manhattan. On the first floor, you can reserve the boardroom at the Bluemont Hotel as a satellite office for a week, or you can use Goolsby's brand new private party space as kind of a carrot to get through some tough quarterly meetings or something like that. Pour your own fun on the wall. They got 30 taps on the wall. They got all kinds of ways to host wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, you know, guy weekends, golf weekends, whatever it is you're doing, graduation, all kinds of great space for work. If, well, you know, if you travel with your work and you've got work in Manhattan, this is the only place to go. If business is your thing and you go to Manhattan frequently, you have to go to the Bluemont Hotel. Online at BluemontHotel.com. Don't forget the awesome Goolsby's for a light bite, couple of cold pints. Pour them off the wall. Bluemont Hotel is online at BluemontHotel.com. Advantage Termite and Pest Control. What I like about Advantage, I've heard people talking about this. They will come into your house and they'll spray in your house. They're so good. All of their treatments are outside and it keeps anything from getting in. It's just been remarkable. We've been in this house now for about a year and a half, which has been kind of cool. We were worried at the beginning maybe we'd have some mice or something because the house had just been built and they can get in during construction. We had Advantage come out a couple of weeks before we moved in, before it was all finished up, and they treated it inside and out, and I don't think they've been back inside since. They treat the outside. We haven't seen anything, like not an ant, not a bug, not a roll, I mean, nothing. These guys are really good at what they do. Make the switch. Aaron and his family are great Americans, okay? Advantage Termite and Pest Control, 913-768-8989. You got some critters you're seeing right now or something's getting in your attic. They also do the animal removal. So Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the way to go. And Fry Orthodontics is like me. They love moms. They're having a Mother's Day contest, free Invisalign for one lucky mom. How do you do this? Go to the blog page at fryorthodontics.com, okay? So you got a few days left to do this and nominate your mom or your wife, who's the mom of your kids, if you think they'd like free Invisalign. It can be as simple as only having two teeth that are a little crooked that they can fix, or if you need a whole new grill. If you know somebody that would like this, it's absolutely free to one lucky mom this Mother's Day, courtesy of Fry Orthodontics. Go on to fryorthodontics.com. It's on their blog page, fryorthodontics.com/blog. And you'll see how to sign up right there and write just a little bit about the person you'd like to nominate for free Invisalign, because Fry Orthodontics loves moms. I love my mom. I can't wait for Mother's Day. I love Mother's Day. It's great. FryOrthodontics.com. Get the mom in your life a smile for life with Invisalign free for one lucky winner. FryOrthodontics.com. All right, let's move on to the news, and it's horrific. This one's really a bad one, folks. And I'm not going to get into the details of this man's name and all this other nonsense, but we have an illegal alien in Texas. An illegal alien in Texas with an AR-15 at his residence, where he takes it out, and apparently they're out in the country a little bit somewhere, and he shoots it frequently. And he was shooting it this weekend, late in the evening. And the neighbor, they've known this guy. He's been there a couple of years, I guess. They know each other. And he goes over and, hey, you got to stop, man. We got a one-month-old or something. The baby's trying to sleep. It's loud. Can you stop? Goes back home. The shooting kind of continues. And the guy comes over with his guns and starts mowing them down in their house. The Guzmans. This is horrific. Five are killed. One of them an 8-year-old. The details of this are heinous. Absolutely awful. Two dead women laying on top of small children that were spared because the women jumped on their small children and took the bullets and died. The children lived. And somehow the dad is running around doing interviews about the man that did it, because the dad ran, the initial shot missed, and the dad ran and lived. Well, five women and children died. I'm going to allow your mind to create your own commentary there instead of me saying anything. because it's probably not nice. And now the dad's doing interviews, talking about this man who's on the lam. The guy ran. He's an illegal alien. He has been to America back and forth 5 times. He's well known for being deported. And apparently we've just let him stay this time. The last time he was deported, or the last time he was caught, I guess, coming in was 2016. And so he's here. They know who he is. And they set up a perimeter and they're looking for him. He left everything behind in his house. So he stripped down and he ran. They put dogs on his trail. They followed his scent until it got to the water. The man went swimming. And then once he got out of the water, they couldn't pick the scent up anywhere. And they don't have any idea where this man is. He's probably headed back to wherever he's from, would be my guess. And that'll be that. And he won't ever come back. So I guess that's a positive. Clearly, if the man had an assault rifle, which they want to make illegal, or an AR-15, if that's what he had and they want to make these illegal, it doesn't matter because he's illegal. That, by definition, makes the gun illegal. He clearly cannot get that gun. Clearly. So this discussion about guns is ridiculous. It is always the perp. Always the perp. It reminds me of a quote I saw last week on a meme on the internet. And it goes like this. If the First Amendment applies to radio, television, and internet, and the Fourth Amendment applies to electronic and video surveillance, then the Second Amendment applies to modern guns. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And this animal who did this should never have been in our country. Period. This story's so bad on so many levels. And they're asking Mayorkas about it. Oh, I can't comment right now because we don't have all the details on that. You can't comment. You can't comment. Not a citizen. We know who it is, and we know he is not a citizen, and we know he's been deported multiple times. You can't comment? We got 5 people dead outside Houston. POS. It's what those people are that are running our border. It's just an awful story. Bad week for the Bidens, and the weekend was no better. It just gets worse and worse on these guys. I think, you know, I hate when they say, oh, the walls are closing in, and I don't ever think anybody ever is going to get in any trouble on the left. I've seen this play out, and nothing ever happens. This is getting pretty bad now. The disinformation experts that are out there are staying very quiet on the laptop from hell and what's going on here with Joe Biden. And I think everybody knows they're going to have to do something with Hunter on this. There's going to have to be something done. Of course, his dad can pardon him and all these other things, but I don't think he'll ever be convicted. But I think at some point it's going to have to become something where there is some sort of charge, even if he gets off, even if it's dismissed. You have to charge him with some of these things that they've done. It gets worse. We have now learned that Biden's CIA director, William Burns, when Obama was president, he worked for Obama as well. He was like deputy secretary of state or something. William Burns worked for Obama in 2014. He is now our CIA director. He's Biden's. Biden knew this stuff and made him CIA director. So what did Obama shuffle William Burns off to do when he met at least 3 times with convicted pedophile and sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein? Yes, our CIA director had 3 meetings, it is now learned. There are logs that have been found where he met with Jeffrey Epstein in 2014 while working for the White House. What was that about, folks? Was that about Bill Clinton? What was that about? Why was this man jettisoned off to meet with Jeffrey Epstein 3 times, at least 3 times, and other Democrats, other liberals in the deep state of liberalism met with Epstein as well after he'd been convicted? After. This is nuts. This is our current CIA director. I'm sorry. This man needs to be fired. How can he be the head of the CIA when he's doing stuff like that in 2014 for Obama? This is so political now and so wrong. The CIA, the FBI, the DOJ are supposed to be blind to the politicians. They are supposed to be blind. They are supposed to only answer to the flag, to the Constitution. And boy, we've got a terrible situation. Biden made it worse for himself over the weekend. Now he's got liberals in the media pissed at him. They had the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And he made a joke about, hey, tonight's speech is, this is what I do. I come out, I read off these cards for a few minutes, then I walk away and don't take any questions. And a few people laughed, and a whole bunch of reporters went, ooh. And then they started writing pieces that this is supposed to be funny. They have speech writers, comedy writers, that you're supposed to make jokes. Joe Biden's the least funny man on the planet. Like, I'm not very funny. Joe Biden is not funny at all. Nothing. He can't tell a joke and make people laugh. It just doesn't happen. It's always awkward. And he did this one, and it bombed. It flopped. But they wanted to get it in because what did his comedy writers want to do? Oh, this is the night we can take shots at the press. Because for whatever reason, the Democrats don't like the media, and I don't get it. I don't get why they don't like the media. I can't even figure that out. They're all in it together. One of his other jokes that flopped, he started listing his accomplishments. He said, well, we've fixed the economy. What was the other thing? It was lame stuff because he really hasn't done anything. Oh, we got everybody the COVID shot. We're like last on earth in COVID shots. I don't know if you know that or not. That's the real hope for America, that we believe in our freedom and our individual liberty, is we're one of the lowest countries, organized countries, not third world countries. We're like lowest in the world in percentage of people that got the jab. We're only at like 68% or something like that. That's low. But he's still, and I'm proud of the fact that that's low, that people believed, hey, I'm going to trust myself here, not my government. I think skepticism is good. So I like that. That reflects a good number to me. He's up there bragging that they got everybody vaccinated. I'm like, dude, you're almost last in the world at getting people vaccinated. The last thing anybody ever did was get the shot because Joe Biden said get it. You got it because you were worried about your own situation and you believed in the shot. That's fine. You did it. That's cool. But you didn't do it because Joe Biden said go get it. It's ridiculous. So he says, I got everybody to take the shot. We fixed the economy and we got Tucker Carlson fired. And the room went, oh, there were no laughter. Oh, I mean, the problem with the joke is it's probably true. They were probably putting pressure on the Murdochs to do something. The deep state was probably as involved as anyone else in getting Tucker Carlson fired. I wouldn't laugh at that either. I don't find the humor really in that either. Bad day Sunday for ESPN on ABC. ABC airs some of the NBA playoff games, but it's an ESPN production. They clearly make the differentiation. This is ESPN on ABC. On Sunday, the early game was the Heat at the Knicks, game one in the Eastern Conference. Miami at New York. At halftime, they're just plugging along, and they want you to know they're in New York. And so they show the Statue of Liberty and the skyline of New York behind her. Only one problem. It was stock footage that was at least 23 years old. How do we know it was at least 23 years old? Because these idiots at ESPN showed stock footage of Lady Liberty, you know, where the helicopter flies around her, and in the background, you can see the World Trade Center and the Twin Towers. Oh, my God. This is their wheelhouse. This is New York. This is where they all live. There will not be a worse broadcasting gaffe this year, and I'm talking about even people like that say something stupid and may get fired. This is absolutely impossible that somebody found footage that's probably 25, 30, 35 years old, I don't know, and aired it on a Sunday afternoon for a Knicks playoff game on ABC. ESPN has apologized. Well, I would think. Jeez, it's just so ESPN. Good Lord, what has happened to ESPN? Wow. Our final coming right up. It's brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, online at joslynsjewelry.com, or visit them this week at 95th and Antioch. It's the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Great folks in there. Colbert Hills Stay and Play Lodges in Manhattan. You want to play Colbert Hills this year? It's a bucket list golf course. 15% off your stay and play package. Go to colberthills.com. And use the promo code KKHI. You can have dinner at Colbert's. They can even cater the dinner into the lodges right there by the clubhouse. They can set your event up any way you want. You can take 12 to 14 business associates, couples golf, buddy trip, whatever it may be. first class all the way. As the golf course is, so are these lodges. If you'd like to call Joni at Colbert Hills and ask her about it, 785-223-3021, or email Joni, J-O-N-I, Joni, at ColbertHills.com. Mention the podcast, your entire thing is 15% off. Just for mentioning the podcast. You take eight dudes up there and get a couple of lodges, you're saving a lot of money at 15% off. That's awesome. Stay and play lodges at Colbert Hills. Joni at ColbertHills.com. And my buddy Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens. He's going to be sponsoring a great event coming up. We're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. It is, it's going to be fun. There's a service day, a big event coming up on May 20th. It's Armed Forces Day, and I'll have more details for you. And Tim's going to be a big sponsor of this in Cross Kitchens. We're going to play cornhole again, and we're going to have fun, but it's an all-day deal. It's open to everyone. Armed Forces Day, it's going to be incredible. We'll have more details coming. Tim's the first guy to jump on board. Armed Forces Day, and we're going to play bags. This is going to be great. I'll be there. We're going to be having some giveaways and stuff. So more information coming on that, but just know this about Tim Cross and how I don't even like using the word patriotic. I don't because it's not enough. He's just a great American. I think that's a better way to describe it. Tim's a great American. He's a great American company. CrossKitchensKC.com if you'd like to do any remodeling at your house. He is awesome. Our final is a man named Elvis Francois. Elvis Francois is a fisherman in the Caribbean. There was an article in a Dominican paper. So I think this happened in the Dominican Republic or somewhere near the Dominican Republic. I'm not sure. It didn't say exactly where this happened. This man went out fishing. He does not have GPS on his boat. It's not a very good boat, but he's making a living. Catches fish, he brings them in, he sells them. He's a hard worker. He gets lost. He gets lost at sea in his boat, which is some sort of a sailboat. All right? So he gets lost, disoriented, doesn't know which way he's going. I don't know what happened. He'd gone for 24 days. Dude is on his boat alone for 24 days, lost at sea. 24 days. He didn't have much. He'd taken some food there for one day to go out fishing. And presumably, maybe he'd caught some fish. Can he eat them raw? Could he cook them? I don't know what he was doing. He says he survived on the condiments that he had on the boat. He had a whole bunch of ketchup packages and apparently like some grated Parmesan cheese packages or things like that with maybe some pepper sprinkles, different types of, but mostly he had a whole bunch of ketchup packages. And they were Heinz ketchup packages. And he ate them all. And he survived 24 days. And the people at Heinz Ketchup heard this story and they said, wow, this is great. We're going to put this on social media. This is great for Heinz. It's great for him. We're going to do something really nice for him. They went to Elvis Francois after 24 days after he'd been rescued at sea and said, we want to get you a new boat, brand new fishing boat with GPS. You'll never get lost again. All the tracking devices, all the modern bells and whistles. We're just going to gift it to you so you can keep fishing and your life's going to be great. And what does the dude say? This sounds more American than Dominican. Elvis says to Heinz, can you just give me some money? I mean, who does that? He's a fisherman. Who does that? Let him get you a boat. It's going to be a great boat. It's going to be a great boat, right? Heinz would be embarrassing if they got him a crappy boat. It's going to be a great boat. Take the boat. He says, I want the money. So they gave him $15,000. He said, I'll buy my own boat. He went out and bought another crappy little wooden boat that doesn't have GPS and kept the rest of the money. You can't help some people. How's this possible? He lost 24 days at sea. He bought another boat with no GPS, nothing. No navigation. Nothing. I mean, remarkable. Good for Heinz for doing this. I'd have said, sorry, Elvis. No. I think if I was Heinz, I'd be like, nope, here's your boat. What do you figure his boat was going to cost? 50 grand? I mean, they were going to buy him a nice boat with all the bells and whistles. You know, I'm not talking about these $500,000 boats in the Lake of the Ozarks. They're going to buy something like that. But I'm going to guess for a Dominican man, a $50,000 boat with some nice GPS on it would be a hell of a lot better than what he had. And well, of course it was, because that one's gone. I think it just floated away or something when he was rescued at sea. That's a sad story. In a lot of ways, that's a sad story. But we are glad that Elvis is alive. We are glad that he had Heinz ketchup. and we are glad to have that story at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.